Okay, we got to the number one, so that means we're allowed to start. Fantastic. Welcome to the Vines, Father's Day 2025. Just pause to think of the word father, to think of the words pop, father, granddad, dad, daddy. I'm talking about fathers and dads. I've got so many dad jokes that I could use right now, but I'm not gonna. I'm going to be restrained and not say all of the dad jokes that I know and others that I don't know that are just weak. Spring is with us. Spring is with us. Certainly amazing, an amazing spring day yesterday. We got washing done outside, dry, in and packed away all in one day, and that hasn't happened for ages. Usually it just gets washed, hang it outside for a little while, it gets wetter, then you bring it inside and it stays inside in the room and waits and waits and waits. Everything was done yesterday. And then it changed. And another thing that's with us, Trevor is with us. He's back for more. He thought, I'll come back for more. We're going to look forward to his message today and what he has to say to us. It is a busy day. Let's get started. 4, 3, 2, 1. Standing up, let's go. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
Sing it out.
Oh, Lord, we praise your name. Oh, Lord, we magnify your name. Prince of Peace, mighty God. Oh, Lord, God Almighty.
Let's do it again from the top.
Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name.
Myself, I really want you to sing "Oh Lord" again, but I know you loved it. I could see from the voices you loved it, and that was beautiful. Thank you for that. Turn and greet the person near to you or somebody who's a bit further away and say, "I love the way you sung that song."
Well, I love the way you played that song. Well, I love the way you played it.
Yeah. Everybody goes like sheep.
Good picture, eh?
Okay, come on, we're going to get into this. There are lots of things going to happen today. Stay standing, it's a lovely song that we're going to sing next. Jesus loves me, this I know. Now, there is a lot of to-ing and fro-ing about which words we're allowed to use up on the screen. So we've just used the set of words that we've got, and it's not the words necessarily that you know perfectly that just comes out of you, but it's almost it. So let's just sing Jesus Loves Me, verse 1, and we'll do verse 4, but you think it's verse 2, that's okay, but we'll sing two choruses at the end because we know it so well. Let's go. Here we go.
Yes, Jesus loves me.
just be amazed. This next, it'll take us ages to get through this next part of the notices. There are so many notices. There is so much stuff happening at our church right now. It is amazing. You will be gobsmacked, amazed, impressed. First thing, disappointingly, Circle of Friends for this Tuesday has had to be cancelled. The next meeting will be on Tuesday, the 14th of October. Sausage rolls with the Jazz Bandits in a couple of weeks' time. There will be more than sausage rolls, so there's going to be biscuits and cakes or whatever, as long as some people volunteer to help us out. So please ring Varel or talk to somebody or other and say, I would love to make some cakes. I would love to. Otherwise, I'm just going to zip down to Foodland and buy some Jats biscuits. There's nothing wrong with them, but some homemade things would be lovely. Something else we need to point out is that Neville has put in that the next meeting for the men's dinner group, it's in my head it's called the Midweek Munches, the Men's Midweek Munches. He needs to know names by this Tuesday. So if you are planning on going to that, please let him know. The roster for morning tea on Sunday morning is a little bit empty at the moment. And so if you could volunteer to do that, that would be great. The afternoon Bible study on a Wednesday will recommence on the 10th. That's this week. And Shoeboxes of Love. Wendy's going to explain to us something about Shoeboxes of Love for those people who've never heard it before or those people who want to know some more about that.
Good morning, church family. This morning I'd like to highlight the Samaritan's Purse Christmas shoeboxes that's already underway in our church. While we celebrate together the wonderful ministry of our Pantry 152, which is happening today, I'd also like to acknowledge that this is our 22nd year of giving to the Operation Christmas Child.
Very impressive.
It's been a very worthwhile cause, yes. It's an opportunity to share the good message of Jesus with children in other countries, and in many cases where children have never even received a gift before. Now, there are several ways of giving. So you'll see the boxes out and the pamphlets out in the foyer on the table out there. You could pack a shoebox. And, of course, you could be a great role model by showing compassion, kindness and faith in action with maybe packing one with a child or a grandchild or even a great-grandchild. Or you could just do one yourself. Or another way of giving is I've placed four boxes out on the table in the foyer. If you'd like to just give individual items, that would be wonderful as well. Suggestions for these are also in the pamphlet. There's lots of suggestions. And this year, we're not allowed to donate soap. I don't know why, but no soap this year. And, of course, nothing liquid. And the other way that you could contribute is by giving money, because each shoebox have packaging and handling and sending is $12.50. So another way that you could contribute, that would be great. Last year, our congregation sent 61 boxes, which was wonderful. And in South Australia last year, there were 17,263 boxes, and they went to the Philippines. Australia-wide, they packed 211,502 boxes, and worldwide, 11.9 million. So it's a wonderful ministry, and we're just a small part of something that's very big, and it's a privilege to be a part of that. I went to a session yesterday that gave lots of extra information. And people's hearts have been touched by little messages inside the boxes. So just a simple message, not any long letter or anything, but just a simple message. God loves you, Jesus loves you, I love you, has changed people's lives. So it's pretty amazing. Okay, I'd just like to bless the ministry. The last Sunday of collection, I think in the newsletter says the last Sunday in September, but it'll actually be the first in October, so I've given you a week's grace there, so a little bit of extra time. Let's just pray over this ministry. Join with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to spread the love of Jesus with children around the world, a world that is in so much pain and conflict in so many places, but here we can share your joy and your love. Help each of us to consider our contribution and pray for the children who receive the gift and a box, and we pray for their families too. Lord, you bless us in so many ways each and every day. Help us to have thankful hearts and minds. Bless the ministry of the Samaritan's Purse Shoe Boxes. May it radiate your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, let us celebrate and be happy about the fact that Pantry 152 has made it through for one whole year. Let's hear about it. Just quietly, there's an amazing cake out there later. So
I was going to say this, lovely morning tea.
All of these empty seats, oh, they're going to miss out on this amazing cake. Oh, darn.
It's really exciting to say that our pantry has been going for a year and we have made a considerable intrusion, if you like, into the community around here with a number of people who have been ministered to through your generosity and your love expressed in both goods and in cash, which has enabled us to have a really impressive filled pantry. And so Chris is going to give you a little idea of the statistics of what that's meant over that 12 months, and then I'll just tell you about a couple of people that we have actually ministered to over that time.
Well, so we opened in September last year, but it was about 4 weeks before we actually had any clients coming through our doors, so that was a bit of a concern for a little while. But word still, you know, spreads quickly and notices were up and our name became known. So since then, until the end of August just gone, during Wednesday mornings, we're open 10 to 12 every Wednesday. Through those doors, we've given groceries to a total of about 230 people. It could actually be a bit more, but it's around about that. And of that many, 101 different clients. So out of that 230, we have quite a number of people who have returned, who are regulars, who come, you know, every 3 weeks or once a month. So we've really connected with 101 at least different people over that time. On top of that, we've given out some emergency food parcels, and that is when people ring up the church and they need something outside of the pantry hours, somebody will come down and sort them out with an emergency food parcel. We've given out 18 of those during the year. Two of those have been homeless, as in living out of their car or in a tent. One of those in particular have had a few contacts with us, and a number of people have helped that person in different ways. And they're the sort of people that we really feel it's worthwhile having, you know, this ministry that we can actually help people who are really in need. So if you like figures, we've given out over 3,300 items of groceries. So where does the food come from? Well, some of it comes from the donations from you people here on a Sunday morning or at other times during the week, for example, Creative Connection and other groups, fundraisers that we've had and are still yet to happen. So thank you all so much for your support and contributions. Every single item and every single dollar really counts. We were also the recipients of the winter appeal from Amanda Rishworth's office, so that helped us a lot too. We also purchased non-perishables from Food Bank. I do an order about once a month, depending on our needs, their stock availabilities and costs. It's not always the cheapest options, so I also look out for supermarket specials as well. When we pick up an order from Food Bank. They often have fruit and vegetables and sometimes bread available for free that we can collect as well. That, you know, the quality of that differs from time to time, but it all helps for a little while anyway. And so, yes, we still do need to purchase from the supermarkets, so hence the fundraising required to keep the pantry going. We've got 24 people on our roster for volunteering on the Wednesday morning, so thank you all to those who are involved in this important ministry of our church. And if you are interested in joining the next roster or have questions, please speak to Marge or myself. You're also welcome to come in any Wednesday morning and have a look and see what goes on. You're most welcome to do that. The doors are also open this morning if you haven't been in there, wander through afterwards and just have a bit of a look if you like. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Rob did tell me that he was going to say, if you want a piece of cake, you have to go out that way and around so that you actually see the pantry. I just want to quite quickly share with you just some of the stories of people who've come through our door. A single mum, 8 children, ranging right across the spectrum of school years. She spelt that out the other day. She's very glad of our help because obviously her money doesn't go very far. In the school holidays though, she came in and just asked for a cup of coffee and some quiet space. And I thought that was really precious. And so we had a little chat with her, just let her have her peaceful time. And she's very grateful for that. A gentleman who was one of our first clients, he's married and retired, but his wife is rather shy and not comfortable about coming in. But he comes in, has a lovely conversation with our volunteers, and even just sits and chats. I'm not sure whether his wife's in the car or at home, but he just sits and chats for a little while with the volunteers who've helped him. A pensioner, a lady pensioner who lives alone. At first she was embarrassed and upset that she had to ask for help. But over time, she's become quite comfortable with us and often shares what is going on in her life. Another long-term visitor struggles with a very complicated family situation where we really feel the family take advantage of her. And so she's very appreciative, just again, being able to come to a safe place and be helped with what she needs. And a young dad, self-employed, 2 young children, but with a very serious health issue. And that has kept him from being able to work. With no current income, his savings go to pay his rent to keep a roof over their heads, but then finds it hard to buy food. He is extremely appreciative of the help we are able to offer. And they are just a few of those people out in our community who are doing it tough and whom we are able to help in some small way. And really, we could not do this without the help of every one of you in some way supporting that ministry. There's a lot more situations like I've described. And I think what we most give to these people is a listening ear. It's easy to share your situation when you know there is no judgment, just genuine love and care. And those are the gifts that we give to those who come through that door. And they leave feeling better than when they came in. And you know, this is the very essence of what God requires of us if we dare to claim his name. So thank you for being part of Pantry 152.
We're doing well. We can sit up and be proud of that. I can remember being a little bit doubtful back at the end of 2023. Was this a good idea? Man, it certainly is amazing. Thank you, Adrian.
Good morning. Our Bible reading this morning comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 39, reading from the NIV. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. We're going to sing about that love. Very short song. We'll do it twice through. Fantastic. Let's go. Time, when we start the second time, everybody sings a tiny bit louder. You're amazing. What would it be like if we did it 8 times? Blow our heads off. Colin, could you lead us in communion, please?
As we come to communion on this special day in our secular calendar, we do so with a deep reminder that the love that God has for us all. Our communion is surely a time when we come with thanksgiving on our lips and in our hearts for the love that God has shown to us in the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. As the good God told Nicodemus, and all of us through the Gospel of John, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son. What does that mean for us? Well, we have the opportunity to express our thanksgiving in our hearts as we share in the bread and the cup of remembrance. We also have the opportunity to show thanksgiving in our lives. I thought I'd like to share with you today something of how Bruce Brewer sees the death of Jesus. Lord, truly you have borne our griefs and carried our sorrows on this most terrible and wonderful day when the sun was dimmed and the earth shattered in horror. Horror. We know it. Lord, no longer is it only the blood of our brother that cries from the ground. Today we hear the voice of the blood of God pleading from the soil with a claim which will never be silenced or ever defeated. Lord, everywhere we go, your holy blood speaks from the rocky soil of Israel, the green fields of Devon, and the vineyards of the Rhine, out of the clays of Uganda, from the prairies of Canada and the rice paddies of Vietnam, the cry of love. Lord, our homeland too shudders in loving recognition. Everywhere is now Golgotha, Yanchep and Wilpena, Cove, Burnie and Kingaroy, sheep stations and dairy farms, blue mountains and Wimmera wheatlands, all cry with the blood of the crucified God. Lord, if in love we offered you our homeland, it would be poor thanks. If the whole wealth of Mother Earth were given, even that would be inadequate praise. O you who bear our griefs and carry our sorrows, we are yours. Hear then again the words of the Apostle as he tells us of that special evening shared with the few. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Here then we ponder the Last Supper. We take the bread. It's that which we share together as we remember the one who is the bread of life. And we take the cup, the beautiful cup of salvation, as we remember the death. Dear Thank you for the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And we remember his sacrifice for humankind. Help us to understand more fully the call of discipleship on us as we make our way in life. We express our love in Jesus' name. So we share in the bread and the cup. We'll wait for everyone to be served, and then we will partake together. So we share in thanksgiving. And now we receive the cup. And we remember that Christ's blood was shed for us. Again, we come in thanksgiving as we remember the sacrifice of our Lord. Let us share. Hear these words of truth. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Amen.
We can remain seated and sing.
Loving Father, we are blessed among all people. We have gifts to give, and there are many who have nothing. But because of your graciousness to us, we can respond and know the joy of your Spirit at work among us. Father, as we share and as we give, we rejoice because your love is seen in the world through the things that we share. May all who receive gifts through this know the wonder of your love for them. Amen. I want to start by encouraging you to do something. Isn't that what you do at the end of the sermon? One of the things that my wife Sue and I do is that we Every week we are involved with the Uniting Church's pantry at Glenil. So it's both a cafe, but also an opportunity for people to get food and supplies. And so we get to see that firsthand. A couple of months, maybe three months ago now, it's been sneaking up on us. But one morning we had these two ladies wander in, very well dressed. You know, they had on their very best, which was interesting because they only work at Bunnings. But they were very well dressed, and they came in and they said, you know, look, we want to come and see what you do. And we went, okay. And it turned out that the people who organised the Bunnings barbecues, you know, the Bunnings barbecues, the people who do that, they actually generate a lot of money through their social club or whatever it is, and it's shared with people. And what had happened was that they had, the people at Glenelg had had a Bunnings barbecue, probably at Marion, I imagine. These ladies were going, we should be giving to you, not you having to come and do this stuff. And so what's happened is that now there is a relationship. And Bunnings particularly are doing things to help. You know, they come and they give money through their, I guess it's their social club or whatever it is that organises it. So can I encourage you to think about running a Bunnings barbecue? Okay? Because there are lots of people who work in Bunnings and who see that and who want to be those who are givers. And I believe we should help them, because it's about changing their hearts. And so every few weeks now we get them come, and you know, they've started working out that these homeless people, as you have here, that they often need things like blankets and sleeping bags and all the other sorts of things that they need that are the one-off sort of things rather than a weekly thing. And so they give through that. So let me encourage you, because you don't always know the outcome of what you're doing. Okay, so let me encourage you in what you're doing as well. May God bless you in that ministry. Okay. Now, this morning, you know, this great passage, you know, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor present, nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. I sort of had to look at it occasionally to make sure I wasn't going off track. But I know that so well. Probably lots of you could do what I just did as well. Roll through it and speak it. What's this about? This is about a word of hope at the end of chapter 8 of Romans. Now, Romans 5 to 8 is a very important section. You know, Paul starts with the Romans with lots of thanksgiving, as he always does, and goes through some very ordinary sort of stuff that's got to be dealt with. And then in Romans 9 to 12, there's a lot of things about helping people to understand how they should live. But tucked into the middle of it, there is this section of really deep theological, what would you call it? It's a theological argument that runs for four chapters. Okay? And as anyone who's read Paul knows, it can get dense. It's thing upon thing upon thing upon thing upon thing upon. You get it. Okay, it's just really there. And in fact, it can be really dense. When I was a young Christian, so that was not just yesterday, you know, I went to a Bible study, not that far from here. Okay. It was down in Morfett Vale, so it's not that far away, is it? And you know, we were looking at Romans 5-8. And after a bit over 2 years, we'd nearly finished chapter 6. True story. There's an awful lot of stuff here. But I want to look at its place at the end of chapter 8. Because at the end of chapter 8, there's this great word of hope. And above all, Paul wants us to see this great word of hope. I mean, if you look at it, and I would encourage you to have a look in your Bible and to see how it talks a great deal about our salvation, chapters 5 and 6 particularly, but also into chapter 7. There's a great deal of stuff about salvation, about our place and what Christ has done for us. There's a great deal of salvation tucked in there. I'd encourage you, and please don't take as long to read it as we did to study it. You know, remember, this stuff is written as a letter, not as a theological treatise. It's actually designed for you to just read it like you'd read, well, probably very few people read letters these days. But, you know, for those of you who can remember when you used to get letters, anyone here remember when they used to get letters? A few are prepared to admit to it. Okay, but you used to get a letter to find out what the latest was, didn't you? I remember the first year that we were married and we were in Port Lincoln. And Sue's mum used to write her a letter every week. Didn't last for a long time, but, you know, for 6 months or so. And it was lovely. Well, you know, to get a letter from a friend was special. And Paul's letter is like that. It's a letter that's designed to be full of news and hope. Yeah? Wasn't it always good to get a letter? To find out the stuff, but also to be reminded of the things that really matter. Because that's what letters do, isn't it? They remind us of who we are. They connect us with the people that we care about. And that's why these letters matter, because it's about building that connection. And that's what Paul's doing in this letter. He's building that connection. So as we look at this, we see that there is a word of hope. And I want you to hear that word of hope. It's tucked away in a couple of spots. In verse 30, we hear this, and again, it's like Paul, it's sort of thing upon thing upon thing upon thing again. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Any of you who remember Romans 5 in the first few verses will remember this is a structure that he used again. Here we see that we are being offered hope. We are being offered an opportunity. We are being offered something that really matters. And we go on. And I love this bit. You know, there are lots of bits I love in Romans. There you go. Just goes with the turf, doesn't it? What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, you see, you know. Yeah, if God is for us, who can be against us? There's that great cry. And we need to understand that this cry is a cry to people who need a word of hope. They need something to transform them. And you've got to remember that when we talk about the Romans, we have to remember that those who were the Christians in early Rome were mostly the slaves, were mostly those who were on the outside of society. Now, yes, there were powerful people there as well, but this was a group that included all people. And that was the remarkable thing about the early Christian church. There was a thing here for all people. And if we think, and of course none of us are old enough, but we see a similar thing in the American Deep South with all of the slaves. These people have got no hope. And yet, who could not rejoice in things like Swing Low, Sweet Chariot? And what's the Sweet Chariot doing? It's coming for to take me home. It's a word of hope to those who have none. It's a word of hope to those who are trapped. It's a word of hope for those who have come to understand that their life is transformed because of what Jesus Christ has done for them. What an affirmation. And we see in Rome these people who are on the outer, and yet Paul is giving them this great cry. If God is for us, who can be against us? All the words of Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, coming for to carry me home. I'll just get my teeth back in before I do that. You know, do we see that there's this word to people who do not have hope? And that's a word that we need to hear in our day. It's a word that is for us, for the people in Gaza City, for the people in Kyiv, for all of those who are in the terrible going around of being in the midst of domestic violence, being trapped, not knowing what is coming their way. Is this the day that they will be killed? So here is a word that is really relevant in our time. That there are an awful lot of people who are without hope. Friday morning, I sat with a man called Paul. Paul's an alcoholic. And you might say that someone like Paul needs to get his life in order. Yes, he does. But Paul is longing for something to break the cycle. He needs to break the cycle, and he keeps getting caught. He knows that the stuff he's doing isn't helping, but he's still doing it. It's awful. I mean, it's the sort of stuff that breaks your heart. These people who need to hear this word of hope, this word that is for them. So for Paul, here are these people that he is addressing. These people who are slaves or on the outer, and the people in our time who are in the same place. This is a word that speaks to the people in Rome and it speaks to the people of Adelaide. It's a word that says that for these people, they matter. It may not feel they matter to other people, but Paul is saying to them, you matter. And as we know, Paul does thing upon thing upon thing upon thing, right? That's how he works. He builds stuff on top of and on top. And then, so that for this section, there is this great cry of hope. It won't take long, and you'll remember this, because I've already read it once. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? What a long list of things. What a long list of things. And Paul says, none of those things can get between you and the love of God. Do we hear the word of hope in that? You know, if you're like the woman who came into our place on Friday, and I'm using current stuff because you need to know this is a current reality. The young woman who had come with her, she hadn't come with her two kids, she'd left them with a friend, but she had moved into a place with almost no furniture, was struggling still with bedding for her children. We gave her some of that. But this person could see no options. She had come in saying, that's what people do when they come here. I heard that you might be able to help. Yeah? Is that the cry of what you do? I believe it is. So for these people who don't have hope, we are in the business of being about hope. We are in the business of helping people to see that the love of God is reaching out to them. To have that cry where they really struggle. Where knowing a good outcome is not something that they see. There is no certainty about a good outcome for them. And yet Paul is saying to them again and again through these last few verses in this book, I am the one who brings hope. And in our world, is that not a desperate cry? Isn't it? You know, you could talk to people all over the world. You know, shoeboxes of love, however many millions it was. I'm sure somebody will tell me after, because I'll get it wrong, you know. But we want people to know that they are loved. Because that is what our God offers them, to know that they are loved. And that is what Paul is wanting to let people know, that God is crying out to them. Because people in our world are crying out for a word of hope. And aren't we? You know, aren't we? We went to the movies last night. We went to see Kangaroo Island, of course, because we lived on the island. We wanted to make sure that we got all of the bits right so that we knew where to put people. Yeah. We knew where Rocky King George's was. And Sandy King George's. We knew where those two beaches were. We knew where Snelling's was. Middle River to you mainlanders. But in it, the story is about a man who has MND. And he is dealing in that story with the pain of facing his own demise. And in this story, the construction for the narrators of the story is that there's one daughter who's a TV star and is all caught up in her own world, and another daughter who has all sorts of difficulties and issues herself, but is a Christian. And so there's this kind of to and fro that's going on. And they try to resolve it. And it's not a Christian story. Let me be clear about this. It's not a Christian story. But it's really interesting that but because this man is dying, that's the background against which this story is told. And the great thing in it is that they talk about hope. They talk about what happens for him beyond this life. They talk about what good, whether he can have a good outcome. And how often is it that we know from people that we've dealt with who are not people of faith, but who are desperately longing for a word of hope as they come close to their own death? How often do we see that? You don't have to go far. I'm sure that all of you know people that you used to play bowls with, or people that you go to Probus with. But you know people who are facing that word for them. It's not the large stuff. This is the ordinary people who are seeking something to hang on to. And for us as people of faith, as people who know the love of God, we have a rich heritage that we are known. Our names are written in the book of life. Sounds easy, doesn't it? The image of a great big ledger is one that's gone, really, isn't it? You know, these days it's just on a spreadsheet. You know? But there is a great affirmation for us that our names are written in the book of life, that for us there is nothing that will separate us from the love of God, and you can go through the list. For us, there is that affirmation that nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul wants us to know that our hope is in Christ, who empowers us and transforms us. This word is a word for our time, and it's a word for us. Will you live in the wonderful love of Christ? Or will you just say, that's a nice little piece of writing, isn't it? No. This is what God has done. He has gone out of his way. You look at that. You go home and read it. You know, I don't know how often you go home and read what was read in church. I'm sure most of you don't. Not immediately. Some of you do. And for those of you who do, go home and read this. Read it two or three times. Just let it roll over you. And hear in it the deep and powerful love of a God who sends his Son that you may know his love, which is the point of all of Romans 5-8, just by the way. Okay, and understand that here you are being given an opportunity to live in the fullness of the hope that Christ offers you. For you it will be swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. For you it will be those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Do you get that's for you? That word is a word spoken to those people in Rome as Paul cries out to them. This is for you. So let me encourage you to go home, to reread that several times, those few verses. And as you hear that, you should know that God is in the process of living with you through difficult times. But that whatever those difficult times, God's got it under control. Amen.
Marge, can you lead us in a shortish prayer? I want to get to the cake. I mean, sorry, didn't say that.
Well, actually, Rob, I think, and God does know, because I was struggling with what to do for the prayer today, and I was going through some books on the shelves, and I found a book called A Book of Uncommon Prayer. It's written by a man called Kenneth Pfeiffer and addresses many aspects of our spiritual journey. They're all written in the first person, so it became my prayer as I read it. And I'm going to share this with you today and ask you to see the I in the statements. And would you believe the prayer that really caught my eye was, I need to expand my faith. Let's pray. And I'll leave just a few seconds in between some little paragraphs for you to own it for yourself. I believe, O God, I believe. I'm not always sure what I believe or how to express what I believe, but I believe. I believe at times only in fuzzy ways that somehow, somewhere, good is real and love matters. But then at times I believe in vibrant, exciting, concrete experiences of your grace. I feel that the Lord Jesus Christ is real and the Holy Spirit is present in my world and in my life. I believe in joyous ways that life is worthwhile and that I matter to you and to other people. I am grateful for such experiences of believing. Sometimes I feel myself cast down and despairing, incapable of trust and sceptical of hope. And from the midst of my desolation, I am pushed back into life and relationships again. And I know I have gone on, not in my own strength, but a strength from beyond. And with surprise, I know that you have done the pushing. I believe, O God. I have known times of regret, hours when my memory has blushed with shame and my spirit has been lashed with guilt. I have been sorry for deeds that could not be undone and for words that could not be taken back. I have repented, and in my sense of inner disgrace, there has suddenly come a sense of healing and a hope. I believe, O God, in forgiveness. I ask forgiveness now that so much of the time of my time is spent fruitlessly churning along in life. If I truly believe life is worthwhile, why am I so bored? If I know that you never leave us alone in our estrangement, why do I feel so deserted? And if I believe in forgiveness, why do I not accept it and live in the joy of salvation? I believe, O God, that you have a place for me, that I am part of your plan. I believe, but too often my belief is so small. Give me the courage to believe big, to love big, and to hope big for myself and others. I believe that nothing is impossible with you in control. Please help my unbelief through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord lift his face. It's a blessing from Wayne. Wayne is a friend of mine who wrote this song back when he was a lot younger than he is today. But he does a lovely song, and we'll just sing it through. You guys ready? 1, 2, 3, 4. Here we go. Let's stand up.
May the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord lift his face. May the Lord give his peace and keep you in his grace. May the Lord go before.
thing that we know is that there is nothing that will separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Go to sleep. And we live in the joy of knowing the presence of God.
Exit through the side door so you can be amazed and gobsmacked about how good that pantry is.
May the Lord bless us.